B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Say this one. This one hurts because when they won, and then when the confetti's falling, it wasn't all Tina Turner. They kicked this in, the Giants, and they just stood there after they beat your ass again. Is he going to go to the Giants? Giants.
I don't know. Yesterday at 4:20, you put out a tweet. All caps. NYJ. Excuse me. G.
big difference, Petal.
Big difference.
Big difference.
NYG.
Oh, he goes NYJ. He's dead to Bill. Yeah. NYG. That's better.
NYG.
Right there. Bang.
For Tom Brady? That's what that tweet's about? It's about Tom Brady.
Yes.
And that's about the possibility of him going to the New York Giants.
I'll be surprised if the Giants are kicking the tires that tampering period.
Someone told you this.
Yes.
And how are you describing this person?
Knows both of them quite well.
Knows who?
Brady and Judge quite well. And this is not coming from the Brady side, which makes me pause and say, because most of my stuff comes from the Brady side. If I ever get anything, I'm not a newsbreaker. But I was just told, don't sleep on this team. And I assumed it was Tennessee. And that was my reaction. Oh, yeah, Tennessee, I know. Yeah. No. Keep going. I said, well, Cowboys. No, they're like, no. Same division. And I'm thinking, same division? Like, well, okay, process elimination. It's not Philly. Sure as hell isn't the Redskins with that owner.
This person made you play a guessing game?
Yeah. I said, Giants? Yeah, Giants. Wow. And I go back and I started to think, okay, when Favre came back, you know, would you tell whatever guy you have that's sitting there and ready to run the system or be your guy, you know, just pump the brakes here for a year or two. We're bringing in this 43-year-old veteran. He's going to take over. So if you're Daniel Jones and you supplant Eli, you end up having a pretty decent year. I think it's 28 touchdowns, 14 picks. That's a good year for a rookie. Those are Brady's early years. 28 touchdowns, 12, 14 picks, somewhere in there. Do you want to curb his development and have him sit, or would it benefit him to sit and learn from this guy? You got the running back. You got a tight end. Defense is, they need some help. What is he to them? How many wins? And that's the thing you ask. Brady's going to look at it, and this is why I say, okay, at times things add up, right? Family, his son lives in New York. That would make it easier for him. The Greenwich thing would be back in play, right? If it's not already in play. I don't know if the house is there or not. I have no clue, nor do I care. But if Brady really cares about winning, does he look at the Giants as, like, the winner? See, that's why I thought Dallas just makes sense. And it doesn't make sense when you look at all these teams make sense and then don't make sense.
The Giants have $61.8 million in cap space.
They do. That's a lot of money.
At the moment? Ooh-wee.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could spend.
They're not in cap jail.
They're definitely not in cap jail. Not a problem for them. Cap jail, no issue.
So you have Joe Judge's head coach, the clapper, is your coordinator. He would listen to you, okay? So Jason Garrett went and imposed himself upon Tom Brady. But I think the big one is Jerry Shaplinsky's there. You know, his quarterback coach under Josh McDaniels. You know, won Super Bowls with him. Was in Miami. Didn't work there with Chad O'Shea. Now all of a sudden he's with the Giants. There's some things there that would pause and make Brady go, oh, good team, meaning great history, great ownership. But didn't they try to stick it to him during the Flategate too?
Who?
The Maras and the Giants and the Rooneys and all them. I thought the Giants were part of the whole, you know, Judge Bartman, you know, just let's keep this thing rolling.
Oh, here. John Mara wanted to play hands off the entire time.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if that's enough to,
you know, and then
get in the way, if you will.
They handed you two Super Bowl losses. Could you go play for them? You know, I don't think you cared. I don't think the players care about that. Players go to best situations, best money, you know, and your ability to win. And some guys just chase money. And I don't think Brady's a money chaser. I really don't. But I think there's a respect value there with money. I think they go hand in hand a little bit. I think he's earned that. You know, given his tenure, given his approach to the game, how much he cares about football, how much he gets his body ready to play. Those guys should be compensated well instead of guys who just show up and cash the checks. Like A.J. Green, who just wants to play in Cincinnati and make money forever. I don't want those type of players.
If you want to know what it was that Mara declined to do, the U.S. District Court in New York had asked the NFL to reach out to John Mara, who is the chairman of the league's chief executive committee overseeing labor matters.
Yeah.
NFL lawyers rejected the court's request, saying Brady's appeal of his four-game suspension is a commissioner-only matter. And Mara is, according to Pro Football Talk at the time, it said, Mara is believed to be one of the owners pushing for the league to take a hard line with Brady.
Uh-huh.
That's what it said. He was a hard line guy and did not want to get involved. Had no interest in getting involved, said hard line. Four games. Too bad.
Would you be shocked if the Giants are involved or interested?
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked, but
logistically,
I mean,
and if you like the Northeast, and if you're really, if you're going to bet in Connecticut, and if you're, you know, the whole, you know, TB12 thing in New York, that's a big market.
Yeah,
man.
I think long term, though, it's not great for them.
Yeah.
You drafted a quarterback. Yeah. He's not terrible.
You have to trade him. You have to trade Daniel Jones.
You can't keep the quarterback. Exactly. You can't keep Daniel Jones.
Oh, man.
You just can't do it.
See, there's things that make you pause like that. That's tough for them. Is Joe Judge set on that guy? Now you take that gig, right? You either have a decision to make, a quarterback.
It doesn't matter. Joe Judge isn't the decision maker, right? Isn't it Gettleman still?
Yeah, it should be, yeah.
So Joe Judge had to take a job where he doesn't have final say, right? Yeah. I would imagine.
You've got, for Daniel Jones right now, you've got four more seasons of team control on Daniel Jones.
It's good from the Judge side of things, though, to come out and say, hey, well, we wanted Brady. So if Daniel Jones doesn't work out for them, then he's on the side of, well, we wanted Brady anyway. So
yeah,
we didn't really want Jones. We're forced to keep him. So it's good PR for him.
Doesn't Jones look good enough that there's something to work with there?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Yes.
He looks good enough that he's not a train wreck.
He looks better than Wentz.
Last season at times he did. That's for sure.
Yep.
But it's like you already spent a sixth
overall. He's not a turnover nightmare.
To get him, you're gonna pass on what is potentially, I don't know that he is or isn't, potentially a franchise quarterback. You felt that when you drafted him, the same crew that's there now. You thought you were drafting a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, if you're wrong on that, then you need to get rid of your general manager.
Exactly. So now you're gonna revert. This is why I'd be surprised, shocked. I wouldn't be shocked by him going anywhere. He's Tom Brady. Like, if a team wants Tom Brady, that's not
shocking.
Thing.
That's the one thing. Like, okay.
Tom Brady's a better option than Daniel Jones. Yes, for the next couple of seasons, no doubt. But you drafted Daniel Jones thinking he was a franchise QB.
Yeah.
Because that's what you think when you draft someone in the top 10, and you expect him to be there a long time and develop into your guy. So what changed your mind? Like, are you that easily swayed? Then you made a bad pick. you didn't pick the right guy.
So, I mean, see, that's the problem here, and this is why this is so interesting with all these quarterbacks hitting the market. Never have you had an established guy like a Brady, a Breeze, a Rivers, even a Prescott hit the market at the same time. So if you're a team with a young quarterback, you have to do your due diligence. And what's the interest there? We're not doing our homework if we don't talk to the guy.
What would you give the Giants for Daniel Jones? Patriots. You knew Brady's gone. Jones becomes available. What do you give up for him?
How much better is he than Stidham?
Stidham?
He's better than Stidham.
Trade Stidham.
You don't have a second round pick. A future two?
Yeah.
A three?
He was the sixth
pick in the draft.
Well, Garoppolo is what, a two?
You'd have to give him
if you're a big value guy.
Yeah, but there's so many years left. You'd have to give him more than that.
You might have to give two twos.
This guy was drafted
top 10.
A year ago
top 10.
At number six.
Yeah.
And he didn't disappoint. Like, he wasn't bad.
No, but in terms of what other teams have done with quarterbacks right out of the gate, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, it shouldn't be the standard, but that's the standard. That's what other teams see and like, we got to have that.
And that's how.
We can't have that?
That's how close.
Right away.
But that's how close you can blow it too. You could be the team like the Bears that we mentioned, and that's a team that took Trubisky instead of taking Mahomes or Deshaun Watson.
Right. I think it would take a couple of twos to get him.
So if you're the Giants, you can spin it as we traded Daniel Jones for Tom Brady and two twos. That would satisfy the fan base.
Their fan base would be thrilled with Tom Brady being there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you need to sell it to them.
For two years of Tom Brady and a couple draft picks.
They're not a fan base that needs a kick in the ass, you know?
Right.
Like the Chargers need a kick in the ass.
Giants fans show up.
Colts need a kick in the ass.
They got real fans that show up and still go to the games every weekend.
See, I think the most logical spot for Rivers is to go to the Colts. They like that like clunky drop back guy, throw the ball deep, drive it. We throw posts. West Coast offense.
Indoors.
We do it. Yeah, come here, Phil. Cut your jersey. We'll do the whole merino cut, you know? Yeah. You don't have to wear that tapered jersey. Yeah. Even Brissett cut his jersey. Oh, that's the first thing I did, cut the jersey. Take half that.
We know.
Half that straight.
We're aware. Let's get to the action update. More on this, though, for sure. NYG. That's it. That's the whole tweet. What did Murray say it was that it could have possibly stood for? Yogurt and grapes or something? Nuts, yogurts, and grapes.
What the hell are you talking about? Text me back.
Noodles, yogurt, and grapes.
Thank you.
Noodles, yogurt, and grapes. NYG.
Noodles, yogurts. We could try that. Cold.
I have something I disagree with Felger Mazon from yesterday.
Oh.
We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This is the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sunday report that the Patriots were willing to go north of $30 million, presumably for a one-year salary, to keep Brady, which came from Ian Rappaport of NFL Media, has been a source of irritation for the team this week. My understanding is no parameters have been set. That number is now an albatross to the proceedings. Okay, so what was your thought on that?
Okay, so my takeaway is, first of all, I was surprised when that report came out and we were at the Super Bowl. Okay, like, first of all, because I'm not sure the Patriots will go beyond $30 million. I'd be shocked if they did. They've had all this time to sign Brady to a deal. They traded Garoppolo the year Brady won the MVP and he passed for 500 yards in the Super Bowl, and they didn't give him an extension then. Now, all of a sudden, 2 years later, they're going to give him more than $30 million a year?
I don't think so.
It doesn't make sense.
I disagree with that for one reason.
Which part of that?
Wait, disagree.
The money part?
Yeah,
or the
money part.
Okay.
In that the Patriots didn't give him the extension then because they didn't have to. And now they have to. Now they're in a spot where they don't have any option. And so, if it were 30 or slightly north of 30, I don't find that to be a ridiculous number. He's going to get that. We know that on the market. So if he were to get, let's say, $31, $32 million a year, right? Let's say 32 is like the high end here, the max. I don't think that's stunning. Because if they want him back, they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a crazy idea.
So Russ makes...
And here's the thing. You wouldn't have paid him 2 years ago because you said, well, let's wait out the age 41 and 42 year old seasons and see what happens in those seasons and see where the level of play is at.
But
once you get into your 40s, nothing is guaranteed.
Nothing's guaranteed.
So, you know, the team is saying, well, is that really smart to extend him out now at 40, or should we just wait until 43, his 43-year-old season? And if we do, are we going to get hit that badly. Something tells me had they actually extended him in 2017, they would have been paying more money. They'd be out more money by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah.
So that's all. That's why I think that they would not have, just because they didn't do it then, doesn't to me mean they wouldn't give him more money now.
See, and I think personally for him, I think he likes the feeling of being courted. Not courted, but yeah, you know, what else is out there?
Here's what would stun me along, you know, their lines, what they're talking about there. If the Patriots had the highest offer, that would stun me. I'd be very surprised by that.
It would stun me if he wants this because he wants out. That would stun me. Like, he doesn't want to be here anymore. Like, it was a hell of a run.
That would then make sense to me. If you're going to be the highest offer anyway, why didn't you just pay him 2 years ago?
And yeah, that would make sense. Like, that's Maz's point, though, too. Like,
I that's why I said I sort of get the point, but I disagree with the specifics.
Right.
I do get that point. Like, if they were the highest offer out there.
Yeah.
If they were offering 36 and no one else was offering any more than 32, then I would be surprised. I would say, well, this doesn't make any sense. But that number at 30 or slightly north of 30, that's not a big enough number for me to say what they're saying.
I think when these next four weeks shrink up and you get closer and closer to that legal tampering period, I think you're going to get less teams that you're going to, you know, hear these things from, like Denver or whoever, Team X, Arizona, or somebody else is interested in Brady now. I think it's going to be just a handful, small, you know, and Giants do make sense from a logistics standpoint, the kid standpoint, everything involved there. It's a good team, good ownership. You know, they don't win a lot of games, but they have in the past. You know, and Eli, career 500-yard guy, 500, you know, wins-loss guy. Had a couple big wins in the playoffs, but it's not like he won there all the time. I think that would energize them. Brady going into that locker room would energize them.
Okay. I assumed something last segment that I probably shouldn't have assumed.
You assume something, make your ass out of you and me. That's what they say.
I thought Giants fans would be thrilled with Tom Brady being their quarterback.
They should be.
Apparently not. Mike in North Attleboro, what do you think?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm a little bit more frustrated with this than I think everybody seems to think. The Giants have a lot more gaps on that team than the quarterback need right now. Brady's great. He's the greatest of all time. I'm not going to argue that. But he can't go into that team and change their record that substantially. They need defensive help. Their DBs are terrible. They need more defensive line help. They need stability. And that's why I think John Mara probably likes this. Gettleman likes this. New York Giants are a franchise that loves stability. They love being comfortable winning. But, you know, they just like these players who historically can prove that they are stable.
And here's the thing with Judge. With Judge going in there and them being a four-win team, you go in there with a guy, it's not your hand-picked guy, meaning, you know, Daniel Jones. Year two, mm-hmm. you know, we're growing with him. I'm a new guy. You bring Tom Brady in, expectations go a hell of a lot more north than they do south. A six-win year next year could be good for Judge. He ain't going to win six games with Tom Brady. That would be a disaster.
I'm not going to say, you know, he's not going to help the team. I'm not. And I am optimistic about Judge. He hasn't been a head coach in the NFL yet. So I am cautiously optimistic. But, I mean, if he goes, I'm positive. I'd like to see the Giants win more. That's what I care about. But I like Daniel Jones a lot, and I'd like to see them stick with him.
Okay. The more I find out about Judge is he's an extreme planner, which means he's dealt with all those different units on special teams. Yeah, we know he coached a positional group on offense. But this isn't like Matt Patricia, a coordinator that's just invested in defense calling plays or trying to run the whole damn thing. Or Sean McVay trying to be a head coach. Now all of a sudden, I don't have any defensive feel. All I am is an offensive guy.
Wasn't he going to school to get his doctorate at the same time he was doing his coaching?
Yeah. But he
got to be able to multitask to do
he
that.
He should, yeah. And he should have a better quick start than those pseudo coordinators that take on head coaching jobs because of, you know, him walking through it. And I think Bill feels he's ready. Bill feels I haven't had a guy this prepared. You know, as far as knowing how to deal with 53 different players, and that's what you have to do. I said, I'll just defer to Wade Phillips. You got the defense, Wade. Go. Or Matt, you got the defense. Go. Josh, your offense. Like, Josh, that's something Josh got to worry about. Becoming the next head guy. And it's got to be right or feel right for him. And obviously, Cleveland did not feel right. You know, turn in your game plans. to the guy out west that does baseball. Let him go over those four. You know, and then we're going to have another meeting on Monday. We'll take 4 more hours of your time up. Yeah. No. No.
Pete in Delaware, also a Giants fan. Hi, Pete.
Guys, how are you today? Good to talk to you again.
How you doing?
There is no way in H-E-L-L that most of the Giants fan base would ever want Tom Brady. And it's not a knock on Brady. It's just this organization is a mess. And if they drafted Daniel Jones, who most Giants fans revolted about, and then we ended up liking him, and then they turn around now after they sold us on Daniel Jones and bring in Brady.
I agree. You're in a tough spot.
Would revolt.
You're in a tough spot.
And it's not against Brady, but this organization tells us stuff all the time and then changes their mind. I will tell you, this would be the one that would just set the fan base on fire. And it's got nothing to do with Tom Brady. It just has to do with make a decision, stick to it, show us that you guys are going in the right direction and you believe in your picks. And they don't do that.
Another Giants fan that does not want them going this route.
Yeah. But you would have to say, boy, with all of their inefficiencies and what they've been able to drop the ball in over the years, wouldn't it be their job to pick up the phone and say, hey, what's the deal?
Bill in Leominster. Same thing, Bill. You agree?
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Billy.
How you doing?
Good.
I've called previously before. I'm a huge Giants fan. And let me tell you something right now. This organization's rebuilding. They're starting over. I've been a Giants fan since I was 8 years old. I'm 39. Okay, I've seen them go up and down, left and right, backwards and forwards. This organization's got its head on its feet, I mean, head on straight right now, and their feet on the ground. They don't need someone who's 42 coming in and being a leader and showing the winning way, because that's what Tom Brady does. He wins. I understand that. But Daniel Jones had a pretty decent season last year for a rookie. It wasn't that bad. The guy takes control of his team. They believe in him, it seems like. He's going to have Barkley back all next year. The defense is starting to come around a little bit. They need a little bit of work, but they're young. They got a lot of potential. Now, they're going to sign Brady, and they're going to pay him, and then they're going to lose money on picks in 2 years. They're not going to keep the safeties that are good, like Love and Peppers, who we're going to need. And we're going to need to sign him in 2 or 3 years, and we're not going to have the money because we just paid Brady.
Okay, there you go. Giants fans out on Brady. Fans out on Brady to NYG.
So much for our notion that they'd love to have him there.
I was wrong.
Thrilled.
I'm an idiot. I didn't know they'd be against having, you know, the best quarterback of all time being their quarterback for the next couple of years.
Beetle.
I didn't know that.
Big picture.
I mean, they're right. I'd agree with that. Long term, it is not the right move for them. I would hope that they recognize that. It's not the
right
term.
Well, long term, it's not the right move for anybody.
They're not close and they're rebuilding. So I did say that. I'm just surprised that fans are not like, oh, God, we've sucked the last few years. I'm glad this happened. I guess not.
No, you
smart fans.
You need a team that is in need of a short-term solution at quarterback.
Yes, not the long-term one.
Yes.
And they've already sort of drafted their guy. They got a guy. Hardy has headlines. More to come here in this noontime hour. More of your calls on the way, 617-779-0985, and Mike Reese versus Ian Rappaport. Yeah, I'm making that a thing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger Mass coming up at 2 p.m. from Banners.
Nice.
Over at the Garden.
Excellent audio down there.
It does sound good.
It's been fixed.
They finally fixed it. But boy, those first couple of watches.
Hello there.
Here it is. Talking your ish again.
Talking about what?
You.
Oh, we fixed it.
Yeah, a long time ago. We. You didn't do a damn thing to fix
bull crap. I called Dennis. He fixed it. Hey, you see this thing real quick here going on American Airlines? There's this issue on the plane because this guy got videoed locking out this woman, putting her seat back continually on him. And people are split over this. Like down the middle. 50-50. Who's right?
The seat locks so the person in front of you can't recline. There's like there's little tools you can buy.
That's not what's going on, though.
There's a bald guy sitting there. It's a woman.
There's no lockout going on. It's just a woman who reclined.
Yeah. It's a rude,
and in retaliation,
woman. Right.
The guy just sits there with his fist going like this to the back of her seat.
I love it.
For the whole length of the video.
How you like that?
Which is 45 seconds.
Love it.
45 seconds of him punching her seat.
It's rude. It's ignorant to put your seat back. It really is. I think it's rude.
I am anti-seat back.
Because I even tell my kids, it's the first thing they want to do. Press the button and recline. I'm like, get your seat up.
Put your seat up, jackass.
The only time I will do it is if, obviously, seat behind me is empty.
A kid, maybe.
Or if there's a little kid sitting back there. Or, you know, somebody who doesn't need all the room. But I...
Still against it.
I can't remember the last time I did it.
Don't you feel terrible reclining your seat? Like, don't you feel like you're an ignorant, smug prick?
Yes, I would never, never done it.
Like, there's people that have no...
I hate it when someone does it in front of you.
I was on a flight last October, and everybody had not just their own, our own row. Like, if you could lay across the aisle, you'd be able to. There were 20 people on the whole plane. Yeah, I'm sure I put it back then. But even if there's a kid behind me, I don't know, because the kids are more inclined to, start...
I'm going to hit it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to give them an easier opportunity to touch the back of my seat.
And, you know, for some people, they say it's leg room. I don't know if it's so much that as it is your head is now right in front of my face.
Yeah.
Like, you're in my personal space.
I don't want to look at your bald spot.
Move up.
Right. Just rude. Because we take a lot of those flights.
The head is right in front of your face?
Well, when they recline, it's like you see the top of their head. Like, what's your hair?
Well, no, if the one next to you and in front of you reclines back, but the one right in front of you, you can see the person's head?
Yeah, if you're sitting up.
What are you, on a low-backed airline?
What are you, a midget?
So you're sitting in your chair. The person in front of you reclines, and you can see that person's head?
Top of it, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't sit up.
What is so surprising about this?
Jim, when the person in front of you reclines, can you see their head?
Only if they go into the little crevice in between the seats.
Right.
You know who's an expert
on
this?
Can't see their head.
You know who's an expert on this?
Absolutely can.
When you sit behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on every flight?
Where does your head go on an airline seat?
Maybe in first class it happens, but I'm not in first class, so I don't know.
Who said anything about first class?
Maybe in Delta Comfort it's an issue.
I was explaining to our intern what the whole reclining thing was, because he didn't know they reclined at all.
My preferred airline is JetBlue.
Okay.
And they don't have first class.
JetBlue and Delta. Love it.
I don't fly first class.
Love them both.
Not one of those people.
I'll fly first
class. Yes.
And if it's available and it's cheap, I'll do it. Yeah. But see, we take a lot of those three and a half, 4 hour flights from down to Florida and back. And I understand people fall asleep. There's no reason for you not to turn around.
I think it's because Hardy's short.
And look and see, there's a 6 foot
You're not that tall.
Man,
I know, I'm
sitting
not that
behind
tall.
You.
Zoe might be able to see the person in front of him. You,
I sit like
your
this
torso
in my chair.
Length is not that much different from mine.
Incorrect. I'm 6 feet tall and I have short legs.
I don't have the ability.
A long torso.
I don't have the ability to slouch down in a chair like this.
Measure Beatles torso, please.
Measure it.
Kyle! Get a tape measure.
Combine measurements.
It's all true.
He's low-hipped.
Is your head above the seat when you sit in an airline seat?
Oh, God, yes.
Absolutely. Above the height of the seat.
My knees make me pin my back into where I got to sit up like this because I can't.
It's just a violation of personal space, Hardy. We can all agree on that.
Right.
Leave your damn seat.
Well, no, that's true. When Zoe drives in my car occasionally, his head almost hits the roof of my car.
Yeah. Reese picks me up all the time in this car. Reese is like up like this driving. And I'm laid back looking like, what are you doing? Little people act different. And they feel different.
He's not wrong.
They feel different how?
Like things like that don't bug them. So they're used to throwing their seat back.
Well, speaking of Reese, there's an issue there between his reporting and Ian Rappaport's reporting.
Good tease.
It seems like they're at odds on the timing of things and how important the timing is for Tom Brady. How important do you think the timing is? That a deal has to be done before the 18th or else there will be no deal?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is because they keep pounding at $13 million. Brady could waltz in here at the end of March, sign here, redo the deal, and push that money back to year number three and spread it out over three. Jim Louth could do the math on that on a paper napkin. It's not as important as you think, but it is important if you're not coming back to let the team know so they could get their ducks in line.
Hardy, just look at this video of the guy punching the woman's seat. Her head is above the seat. If he can't see the top of her head, then there's something wrong with him.
Okay, but I'm 5'11", and I don't ever remember
even
seeing
her
the top
head is
of
above
someone's
the seat.
Head.
Awesome.
Let me see. I love it. I want to fly with this guy.
It's like it's reclined back, and there's the top of her head, like right in your face.
What side are you on? I'm on team ball guy. I'm on team ball guy.
I am too.
Like, she could care less about his space or interfering with his flight.
Like, if you were that pissed off at someone, that pissed off at you,
yeah,
wouldn't you be like, all right, I don't want to piss you off.
Right.
Even though I think I'm in the right, I don't want to make you this
bad. She's just going to keep jamming.
I'm not
going to
do
back.
That.
Right.
Let's all just get along here. Okay. I'll just move the seat up. It's fine. Even if I was one of these really despicable people that think putting the seat back is okay.
Right.
Really. They need to eliminate the ability to do it.
Don't start to buy more extra leg room. If there's no extra leg room available and the flight's packed, idiot. How about that?
I was on I had extra leg room coming back from the Super Bowl and someone did it. And I'm like, oh, please. What are you doing? Now the TV angle is all messed up.
Well, that's
the TV angle was
That's why it swivels.
I had it all the way swiveled up. The newer ones, they're larger screens.
You get that glare.
And it's still tilted down even when it's all the way up.
Poor thing.
And the older seats had better
swivel.
Their
face right in your face. You go to look down to read your book, and you're staring at their hairline.
Now I'm looking
how can you stand it?
Down at the TV, and your head is here, and
can see
you're
up their,
here in
my
space.
God. Person in front of me reclines. I'm
so
staring
at
their nostrils.
Which side are you on?
Your complaint of having to look at the other person's head in your personal space is a bit overstated. That's overstating.
Well, at least it's not these prickly people that check their bags and think people steal their bags and chase them in airports. Hey,
yeah, how about that? I would say that's pretty rude.
Why don't you put a little tag on your bag? Something that you could recognize your bag. Because guess what? 80% of the people out there have black luggage. And it has wheels on it.
Why don't you talk about that, Hardy? You accosting an innocent man.
It wasn't his fault. It wasn't.
Is he in the back of the plane or in the back of first class?
Hold on.
There's a wall behind him.
Who is that?
The guy in the bald guy.
Oh, he's in the back of the plane.
Back of the plane.
That's in the last row 37. And he's getting that action.
Yes. Yeah. So the man who was, again, harassed at the Fort Lauderdale airport by Hardy, who was chased down the street.
That wasn't Hardy's fault, though.
Whose fault was it?
It was his wife's.
Oh.
She said, hey, he stole your bag.
It was so casual. I said, where'd Hardy go? Where's he going? She goes, oh, someone stole his bag.
What did you say when you came back?
I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, someone took his bag.
I had just caught up to the guy.
He must have thought you're insane.
Like, oh, your bag's right here. I was wrong. He didn't steal your bag. I have it here. Where?
Good start to the trip.
Real good start.
Where are you? Where are you? You went chasing that guy.
Whatever.
Doesn't sound like that.
The best part was
how funny she thought it was.
And the both of us.
Yeah.
We're still standing at the carousel. And she said, oh, I actually think that's his bag that just came down. She's like, hold on, I'm going to go check. And she's like, yep, it's his bag. We're good. I'm like, well, you and I are good. Where the hell's Hardy?
She's at the pool with me.
He's half
and
a mile
I
down
I was
the road
next to her.
Chasing a car out of the Fort Lauderdale airport.
And she knew she was sitting next to you.
She was sitting at the rooftop pool. I made it back to the pool first. And this lady there with the hat on and sunglasses, like covering the book. And I didn't think it was her. So I sat next. Hardy comes up, sits down.
You sat next to her. Why?
I didn't know it was her. So after we known with her like five times.
Had you known it was her.
I talked her ear off.
You wouldn't have.
I talked her ear off.
Would you have sat next to her?
This is the one where I told the people I'd bring your baby in the pool. And they wouldn't let me take the baby.
I forget. Did you tell that story on the air?
Yeah, we did.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah. They said no thank you.
No thank you.
We're good.
I miss my kids.
Jim is in Boston. Jim.
Yeah, how you doing? You guys are totally wrong.
Yeah.
I've traveled. How you doing?
Yeah. Good, Jim. What do you got?
I've traveled millions of miles for the last 30 years in business, and you own that seat. You got the seat, You got the space where your feet are in front of you,
yep.
and the ability to recline your seat.
Well, you're
that's
rude.
Your space.
Even
that, no, it's not. That's what's accepted by every business travel in the world. That's what the airline is selling you: the ability for that space dimensions. The floor in front of you is yours.
Yeah.
The seat is yours, and your ability to recline is yours. I'm a 6 foot tall, 200-pound guy, and I need that extra space to go back.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. But I'm telling you, it's accepted. It's not rude.
So when you recline that chair, do you own then the pocket below that chair that you're reclining that belongs to the person behind you to put their personal belongings in, since now you own that space?
Don't you love that? Because I'm a business traveler, and I do it a lot. Therefore, I'm right.
I don't.
They all, what? No. No. Bull crap.
Here's the,
everyone on the plane bought a seat.
Bert Breer wouldn't even do that. Like, Breer travels a ton. Even he knows that's rude.
My point is the airline should stop it from it. You shouldn't be allowed to even do it. That shouldn't be a thing.
Well, everyone has to recline or no one reclines. If everybody reclines.
That I would agree with.
But not everyone's going to
recline.
Except
the guy in the last row can't recline. His seat doesn't recline.
And does reclining give you more leg room?
I don't believe it does.
I don't believe it does either.
No, we learned from the garden. It gives you less leg room.
Oh, very good.
Louth for the win.
Less leg room.
Hey, did you know that Tuca said don't fix the seats?
I did know that.
How about that?
I did.
Tuca's undefeated at home.
617-779-0985. Now we're talking about airline seats, an age-old debate. That's in the mix as well.
Easy to fix. This is why school buses have got it perfect, right? Those seats ain't ever moving.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
No and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hey, hold my hand.
Yeah.
In other words, baby, kiss me.
If they did this at like airline check-in, it'd be fine. People would be in a better mood.
Fill my heart with song.
Yeah.
And let me
chairman of the board.
Forevermore. You are all I long for.
I love being on television because now we can have silly things like this when we come back, and all of a sudden we've got footage of airports and airplanes.
We should get Ninkovich. We should get Ninkovich on the phone.
It's unbelievable.
They made Ninkovich and me fly Delta this preseason because we had to get there for a meeting that they actually, our flight got delayed. We missed Bill's meeting doing the preseason football.
Because
so we had to get there for a production meeting. So me and Ninkovich was 6 a.m. flight, like Delta. And his husband and this guy and his wife, husband and wife, smelled so bad. And they came over and sat next to us. Like there's all these other seats available. And they sit down right next to us. This lady proceeds to break out an entire white onion.
What?
And starts eating it.
Huh?
Like an apple. And I'm elbowing him. I'm like, are you looking at this? And he goes, if they freaking sit by us, I swear to God, they smelt like BO. I'm not going to tell you who they were, what they look like. But, and then they had all these other foods that they brought, but they weren't in, like, they weren't in baggies, you know, like Ziploc baggies. It was all just wrapped up in tinfoil.
Can I?
And I'm like, how'd you get this through? How'd you get this through security? You probably had to take all this food out wrapped up in tinfoil. And sure as hell enough, they sat in a row in front of us because he and I were in extra space seats.
Did you see the story from U.S. Customs and Border Protection yesterday?
No.
U.S. Customs intercepted a package of tiny dead birds from a passenger's bag at Dulles last month.
Hey, people are freaks, man.
Bag of dead birds.
Whatever gets you off, man, you know? Like, if you're into dead birds, you're into dead birds. Like, why you got to mess with people?
No.
Birds should be able to go through security, right? They're dead. It's not like you're taking a live bird.
It was in the luggage of a passenger who had traveled from China to Washington, D.C.
Oh, now we got an issue, though, with
bird flu. The dead birds were packaged in a bag that had cartoon images of a dog and cat on them.
Now it's a party.
U.S. Customs said in a statement, workers from the agency seized the dead birds, at Dulles on January 27th. The passenger said the birds were cat food. And he was planning to bring them to Maryland after his flight.
It's like when you feed a snake a live mouse.
The birds are not allowed into the United States out of fear that they may spread avian flu, U.S. Customs said.
I got you now.
The birds were then destroyed by incineration.
Good job.
With approval from the USDA.
Good job. Good job, Border Patrol.
You think they made the right call on that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Because I saw that movie where that monkey brought that piece of fruit in. That's when that arachnophobia movie started. You see that movie? When that spider outbreak?
Was that a monkey and a piece of fruit?
I think it was a monkey that had a piece of fruit, and the lady brought the fruit back, and the spider came out of the fruit.
Okay.
And then it ended up sucking all the living. They brought a body back.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, where the hell did all the fluid in the body go?
Mm-hmm.
And it ate all the body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, took all its liquid.
I did not see Arachnophobia, but I know that there was a monkey involved in the movie Outbreak.
Outbreak was the one I might be talking about.
Dustin Hoffman, yep. Rene Russo
That's
vehicle.
The one I'm talking
Cuba Gooding
about.
Jr.
It came in a box. It was a nailed box shut. And then all of a sudden, the dead body in there, everything was sucked out of it. The monkey or something.
I think you're thinking of Salem's Lot.
Whew. Nope. That's vampires. It's not the vampires. Nope.
No. Okay.
This had to do. I'm telling you.
All right.
I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah. Rewatch it. You know, I started rewatching last night, BD. You'll never guess in 1,000 years what movie I started watching again last night.
Again?
We've watched it. I don't know if Zoe's watched it, but something we all watched recently and talked about it after we watched it.
I'm just Black Mass. I'm looking at the pictures of the dead birds.
Black started watching The Irishman again last night.
Why?
It's better the second time.
No, it's not.
I'm enjoying it more this time.
Did you finish watching it?
No. God, no.
You didn't finish watching it, but you restarted watching it.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
I do that with the
Oscars. So it's 3.5 hours.
I enjoyed the joke at the Oscars in the opening act.
I enjoyed season one of The Irishman.
I got a real problem with it. Like, I've seen the pictures in magazines of De Niro with the elevator shoes on, like them 4-inch shoes.
The platform shoes to make it taller?
I can't get into the movie with him in character. Full well knowing he's wearing 4-inch like high heel shoes on.
Well, I don't have a problem with that, but I didn't think I'd have a problem with the fight scene as much this time around. The one fight scene, you know what kills it? He's got his left arm in a bit of a fist, and it's kind of shaking.
Like, what are you winding it up? Like, you know, hit you? Here it comes. Here it comes.
That's no, like he's rain. Got tremors or something.
So it's an old guy with tremors starting to fight. You ever see some of those old guy fights, though, like out on the curb? They're on Barstool sometimes?
No.
The old guy just there all falling.
What are you talking about?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.